In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Jesus saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. We heard these words from the Gospel of Mark today. He had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I have known for a long time that the fourth Sunday after Easter, which usually falls somewhere in early May, is often called Good Shepherd Sunday. Something I heard this week that I had never heard before was one commentator referred today as Bad Shepherd Sunday. I'm not really sure why he called it Bad Shepherd Sunday, other than it's not Good Shepherd Sunday, but all I could think was to call it Bad. But we talk about Christ as the shepherd, an authority figure. Now, our culture was once all about institutions. You know, we were, many years ago, organized into all kinds of groups. You had the Masons, the Elks, the VFW, the Rotary, and my personal favorite, the Moose. And of course, everybody, because it's just what you did, everybody belonged to a faith group. Now, even within the church, we were organized. We had the ECW, Daughters of the King, the Brotherhood of St. Andrews, and my favorite named, the Girls Friendly Society. We were a society of joiners, and that is what we did. Now, this whole dynamic really changed about 50 years ago when our society began to lose interest in its institutions. And about 20 years ago, especially after many times leadership in institutions experienced scandals, we became cynical about our institutions because institutions represented authority, and we no longer wanted to follow but sometimes resent authority. Now, much of this is just about where our culture had been and where it is now. It's not really a positive or a negative, it's just about trends. It's only negative, really, if you're trying to maintain one of these institutions. But institutions are what they are. They're not really good or bad, they just exist. And whether we want to admit it or not, we still have institutions in different forms. One thing we have to remember about institutions is that they just exist. They are not positive, negative, and they are certainly not, from a Christian perspective, the way to salvation. Now, sometimes we make the mistake of even looking at the church as an institution. Even the church has made this mistake. That's why many years ago, when all these institutions were gaining population, the church gained population. And when institutions started to go down, the church went down. But you know, the church many years ago tried to look like it was its own country club. You know, you really had to qualify to get into the right church. But this is not what the church is. The church is something else. The church is the body of Christ. The final solemn collect prayed on Good Friday refers to the church as that wonderful and sacred mystery. The church is the gathering of all faithful people, both the living and the dead. It is those we see and those we do not see. It is bigger than our walls and it is bigger than anything that we do. The church is sacred and mysterious. It is that place where the sacraments happen, where the divine and those physical moments sometimes become indistinguishable from one another. That those times when we bring people to the sacraments, whether it is baptism, where we're bringing those into the body of Christ, or the Eucharist, where we gather around to receive the body and blood of Christ, or whether it is two people coming together for matrimony, or those who are receiving the laying on of hands and anointing for healing, those moments, those moments are moments that we sometimes cannot tell whether we are here on earth or getting a glimpse of heaven. It is those moments that we become the church. Now, over the last couple months, we have been following in 1 and 2 Samuel the story of King David. And we are continuing today. Last week, we heard the story about how King David went and brought the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. And now, today, we heard the story about how David wants to build a house for God, as in a temple. But now God is an interesting idea. God kind of takes this idea of house and sort of turns it around a little bit. And God basically tells David, you're not going to build me a house, as in a temple, but I'm going to build you a house, as in a lineage and heritage. Sort of taking those double meanings of the idea of what a house may mean. Because God says, hey, look, my house has always been where my people are. Now, this becomes a covenant with David. And in fact, when you look at the Hebrew Bible, it is the last of those major covenants in the Hebrew Bible. There have been many covenants up to this point. You had the covenant with Adam and Eve. Go, be fruitful and multiply. You had the covenant with Noah. Remember the rainbow in the sky. I will never destroy the earth again. You have the covenant with Sarah and Abraham. You will be the parents of a great nation. And the covenant with Moses, as we've seen the movie with the Ten Commandments, but the law. Now, this last covenant with David, from a Christian perspective, is particularly important because it points toward the ultimate covenant, which is Jesus. King David is the ancestor of Jesus, and the reign of David points toward the reign of Christ. When we talk about the reign of Christ, first of all, I don't mean reign like what it's doing outside. I've got to rein that one in. But it's reign, R-E-I-G-N. What kind of reign does Christ have? Well, the reign of Christ is one, first of all, of compassion. We heard in the gospel today, Jesus had compassion on those who he saw as being like sheep without a shepherd. It is a reign of compassion because Jesus lived among us. He became one of us. He died for us. The reign of Christ is one of reconciliation. Through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ brought the world and God together. What was once separated is now eternally united. But he furthermore taught us about reconciliation. He taught us about forgiveness and withholding judgment for others. Christ's reign is also one of healing. Remember the crowds who are chasing around Jesus and the disciples, just wanting to touch the fringe of his garment for to be healed. Christ's ministry was about wholeness. Ridding us of illness, whether it is illness of body, mind, and spirit, that which we're reminded when we come for sacramental healing. And lastly, Christ's reign is one of kindness. It is one of choosing mercy and grace over punishment. Now, talking about today being a Sunday around shepherds, whether it may be actually Bad Shepherd Sunday, I don't know. But shepherds have been an image that have been used throughout history to be compared to rulers, and rulers have compared themselves to shepherds. In fact, in the ancient Near East, in the culture in which these folks lived, whether David or Jesus, the shepherd image was used by kings forever. This idea of one who leads one's people. But when we think about the way that a king would rule, it's often from above looking down on one's people, sometimes even with an iron fist. But that shepherd image is different with Christ, because Christ's reign is one that embodies that image of the shepherd. Christ is an authority, but an authority who walks among its subjects, one that guides them gently, slowly moving them back with the shepherd's rod, keeping things in order, but walking among them, going out after the lost and the least, one that even cares for them sacrificially. St. Paul tells us today in the letter to the Ephesians, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually in a dwelling place for God." Well, listen to those words. You are not strangers or foreigners, but citizens, members of that one body that is built on that foundation that was laid out long before Christ, but calling Christ the cornerstone. We've seen a cornerstone. We have one right outside. You can look at it when you leave today. In this case, it talks about the cornerstone being the place that all of the structure is hinged upon. That is Christ, that chief cornerstone. But Christ, like God telling David about the temple, Christ does not need a physical temple. Christ's temple is among his people. It is there that there is a dwelling place for God. Now, in a couple minutes, we are going to be bringing somebody into the fold, into the flock, with the sacrament of baptism. And as we do that, as we gather at the font for this moment where we bring somebody in, we remember that we are bringing someone into the body of Christ. It is a body to which we all belong. It is a body that is built not on human will, but on the realm of Christ, which is itself the embodiment of perfect love. And we look to an authority, but we look to an authority that is not of earthly origins, but one that is divine. An authority that is greater than anything that we can conceive. It is an authority that is perfect, and it is one that makes us perfectly whole. Amen.